You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, a TV Roundup commentary.
Fighting the war on drugs, one brutality case at a time.
Girl, you can't even call this shit a war.
Why not?
War's end.
Back again, season one, Wire commentaries here at bingemedia.net. I am Jack. I am joined today by the co-hostess with the mostest, TM. What's up, man?
Co-hostess? What am I, a female or
look, man, like I just rolled
Drake's cake or something?
I just rolled with the rhyme. Also, I don't see in gender, okay? So.
All right.
We are covering season one of The Wire as part of our Patreon exclusive commentaries. Or not exclusive, but reward commentaries, of course. Original plan was to do a couple episodes from season one, couple episodes from season two, and we said, fuck it, we're doing the whole first season, so here we are. Season one has been great. We are now on episode 10, which, TM, I think you alluded to last time we recorded. Had we whittled down the series to a couple key episodes, this probably would have been a contender for season one. Would you still agree with that?
Yes. Or at least, yeah. I mean, I say yes. And also, you know, just the rest of this season, it would be tough to pick and choose, I think. Like you're referring to it being act three.
Right. And, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely I agree tough. With you. Rolling now. Great episode we're in for here. Nothing else to say really outside of let's get rolling. Same deal as before. We'll give you a little 3-2-1 count and go. TM, if you are where you need to be, I'll count it off.
I is.
All right. Then what? There you go. All
right. I think I missed the click there. Once again, speaking in Daniel's language.
You know. I felt I was clear. What else can I do? What else can I do, TM? All right. Okay, so I guess Bubs also got the memo about wearing a button-down shirt with the top couple buttons undone. I guess that's a thing in Baltimore. It's not for me, and frankly, it is out of style in the Falvey household. So.
Well, he was asking Kima for clothes, so it looks like she just robbed McNulty of one of his outfits.
Yeah, or Daniels. Kind of looks like the shirt Daniels was wearing a little bit, maybe a little darker. God, that shirt was terrible. But the nice thing about a shirt that big is that Bubs could also use it as a tent at night. So, dude, just the sores on his face. Like, God fucking damn it. Terrible shit. Snoop Dogg looking motherfucker.
Snoop Dogg? Yo, what's up, Snoop? Not handling the cleansing well here.
You know, he's making an effort. You gotta give him props for that, but he's just too much in his own head. All he sees is his world, you know? The parts of his world that he still knows, on some level wants to be a part of. Tragedy, man. Fucking tragedy. Oh, fucking A.
All right,
so honestly, like, I mean, we've talked about this before, too. So heroin must be the best feeling thing of all time, right? Like, it has to be.
Yes.
Because I cannot imagine loving the idea of shooting, like, this dust that was sitting in some fucking tenement building that some assholes who probably haven't washed their hands in a while are just, like, putting into a vial.
True, I mean, but they do wear gloves. They do wear gloves.
I mean, I have issues if my burger's undercooked at Applebee's or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is just not in my fucking wheelhouse.
Um, again, I can't speak from experience, but the drug is supposed to be like instantaneously addictive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the first problem.
Yeah, there's that old chestnut, I guess.
Yeah, but I just...
So...
I guess you feel great, but every other aspect of your life that unfolds from that, it just does not look good. It doesn't look good.
This is my point. Fun. Like, how good can you feel, right? Because at some point, you're sitting in a corner while it's raining outside with, like, one shoe on, praying that somebody doesn't come over and fucking rob you, kill you, rape you, or some combination of all three. I mean, I guess it's that good? I don't know. So one guy that doesn't get mentioned very much when it comes to, like, the creative team behind the Wire is Ed Burns.
Yes.
So I know he's involved in season one quite a bit. I think he might be a producer on other seasons. I feel like he directed maybe the pilot, maybe another episode. I'd have to look it up. And I'm not doing that right now, so fuck it. But Edward Burns. So I know him, like, primarily, probably like most people, from Saving Private Ryan. I know that he kind of had a moment with Brothers McMullen and, like, She's the One, with both, like, acting and directing. But I don't know. I guess I like the guy. I don't not like the guy. I don't know. It's interesting. He never gets brought up in those conversations, though. It's always David Simon. But, I mean, obviously you need a director for this shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was on Entourage, too, which I remember well. I've always liked him. I've always liked him. He's one of those actors that, to me, I feel like he's not acting. He's just kind of, you know, just his delivery. It's just like, I feel like if I hung out with him and had drinks, it'd be like hanging out with any one of his characters.
Gotcha.
I don't know if that's I don't know if he would take that as a compliment or actually like a negative critique, but that's just kind of how I feel. I think that works for some people and it doesn't for others.
You know, it's funny. I thought at one point, and this sounds ridiculous now, but I think when I was younger, I confused him and Ben Affleck quite a bit.
I think there's definitely visual similarities. He is not listed. He doesn't have a credit on IMDb for The Wire. How is that possible? Director or writer or producer?
Oh, that's
interesting. Am I missing it here? I must be missing.
I'm looking at it too. I don't see it.
Maybe he's creator. I know he's something big because his name was always mentioned with this show.
Is it the same Ed Burns? Maybe it's a different Ed Burns. Maybe I've been thinking of this for a long time for no reason. Oh, it's a different guy. Oh, son of a bitch. Okay, that makes sense.
Huh.
I always wondered why he was never, ever mentioned as part of The Wire. Yeah, that guy doesn't look anything like Edward Burns. Oh, fucking Google.
What, is it spelled differently?
No. Well, I mean, you know, the actor, he calls himself Edward Burns. This guy just calls himself Ed Burns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it comes right up. Writer, The Wire, season 2002, 2008.
Yep, age 73, so... Shame.
All right, well, we cleared that up.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I tell you, this scene, correct? I mean, hits home a little bit, although I'm not saying I'm going through this, but if I was, whew, I'd be walking out the door too.
Oh, I mean, you know. Something tells me your situation will not be like this one. So.
Yes. I don't anticipate it to be, but yeah, Jesus, shut up, Bia.
Should have been going bang string for a while, punk ass bitch.
Yeah. Carver got that badge hanging.
Yeah, it's just not for me. I feel like it would get in the way too
much. It's like
the
undercover badge.
Right. Well, you know, they got to use their pockets for other things. I get it, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, the money they confiscate.
Yeah, exactly. They leave plenty of room. Plenty. You know, it's interesting that Carve is, you know, him and Herc end up, you know, slipping a couple bills in their flak jackets later. Because Carve is in enough shit when it comes to, you know, ratting on Daniels later. You know, mm-hmm. We find out.
Yeah, surprising reveal for sure. Didn't expect it.
Yeah, I don't think I had any inclination that was going on.
I don't think there was a... I don't think they, like, gave us an opportunity to figure that out, like, beforehand.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it wasn't really questioned at any point until Daniels brings it up, and then, like, next episode, he's like, motherfucker. I emerged from my pod and had a revelation. Jesus, that car looks like a fucking...
Yeah, man.
What?
It's like a grasshopper.
Looks like something from Death Race 2000. Oh, of course, Orlando. Of fucking course. You goofy motherfucker.
Oh, this whole shit is awesome. Okay, so now this cop, spoiler alert, in the bandana, he...
Yo, man, I'm clean.
I'm going to think on who exactly he looks like, but when he... You know, when we know who he is and he's in the scenes for like after that, his chomping on the gum has got to go. It's almost as bad as people eating, like the judge eating and with Morano cringing over that shit. It's one of those. I'm sure if he were here, he would agree about the gum. It's brutal. We yell at my wife's mother about that all the time.
All right, I gotta pay attention because it never occurred to me.
Who does he looks like an athlete. I mean, it's like
excellent. Yeah.
I can't put it together. Maybe Muggsy Bogues?
I was just going to say Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see.
This is great.
Yeah, man, I think that's it. He kind of looks like Muggsy.
Yeah. Where's Wallace?
That is not a real picture. There's no fucking way that's... I'm sending you this.
Are you searching Muggsy?
There's no fucking way that's a real picture. If that's a real picture, I'll eat a piece of paper at some time in the future.
Oh, sure is.
You fucking kidding me?
That's my new ball.
I don't know anything about basketball.
All right, then we'll let it. Then you won't have to eat a piece of paper.
I wasn't going to anyways. I don't give a fuck.
Right. The one on the right looks fake.
Yeah.
But I've seen the one in the middle and Manute. Yeah, come on. It's Manute.
Is it now? All right. I'll take it.
All right. So here's... Yeah, yeah. So here's Steve Earle again. They kind of abandon this storyline now. Well, I guess it's because he doesn't clean up.
They do, and then he comes back season 5 when they kind of meet him. All right. So.
Yeah, haven't gotten there for sure yet. That's rough.
It's funny. You look at Steve Earle, you know, in this role, he doesn't have the voice that you expect him to have when you look at him, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, definitely.
It could be one of those things where I've seen so much from him at this point that I'm used to him, and it kind of... I don't know. I generally like the guy's songwriting. I don't love his songs. And maybe it's some of this role is, I don't know, bleeding over into what I consider his career to be too, but just a very likable dude.
Is he, I mean, is there any truth to this role, or he just this part?
I don't know. I mean,
is he a survivor?
I don't know. It's probably worth doing the research.
Is he a Baltimore artist? I'm just trying to make the connection as to why. Because you said he didn't do the intro till season 5.
Let's find out a little bit about Steve Earle here, because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm basing my whole opinion off of this role and the one album. So let's see here. 3 Grammy Awards. Songs have been recorded by Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson. So he's kind of one of those guys. He's from Virginia. Grew up in the San Antonio area.
Yo, can I at least get 5 minutes? This is great right here. Let me get 5 minutes. The Checker Cab.
Classic.
It's amazing that in this day, like in 2019, when I see a yellow cab, I'm looking at it and I'm like, whoa, what's that? Like, I swear to God, I had a moment like that recently. I'm like, whoa, a real cab? That's weird. Ah, D. So, episode 8 commentary I listened to recently, prepping for the last one. I had mentioned that last time. You guys were discussing Greg's. Does she grow on you by the end? Is that what you two were getting at? Because I remember early on in this season, I mean, Alex could not stop expressing his distaste for her character, which I agree with.
Yeah. I think that I can only really speak for myself in this regard. I think that her character's arc makes more sense the farther down the line it gets. The stuff they do to kind of set the table with her relationship with her girlfriend / wife, whatever that situation is, to start, and her, her dissatisfaction with like home life, and then at some point wanting that home life back. Her in Homicide, getting a chance to be a detective and not necessarily doing street rips all the time later in the series. There's a lot there that I think gives her character some better relevance, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, check it. Check the chewing.
Yeah, that's a choice right there.
Easy Street. Couldn't have happened to a better guy, am I right?
Something for us, D.
Oh, you gross, Carver. I would not for nothing. I would love to just kick back some donuts and some friggin' chips right now. I have not eaten food like that in a while. I am jonesing. Ugh, never feel good after I eat it, though.
No, man.
Kima, season 3 is where you get, you know, the baby and, you know, the home life kind of falling apart for her. And At my point now, early season 4, I still don't care for the character. But going back to our last commentary where you posed the question, who, you know, which character could you actually label as a good guy? I didn't say anything during the last show. I wanted to think on it a little more, but I have a hard time coming up with anybody else besides her. Maybe Daniels. But we know he's from another planet, so that doesn't count.
Non-extraterrestrial, please.
Right, right. Yeah, we got to stick to just humans. I think it might be Greg's. Look at this fucking guy.
Oh, yeah.
His neck hurts for a week after that.
Absolutely.
And he's got that damn shirt.
So, Kima brings up an interesting point, too, because her character, I would say more so than anybody else, is in a lot of ways the polar opposite of McNulty. Like, they end up in some of the same places, but she makes decisions that McNulty doesn't make, you know, regarding, like, how she feels about her lost family life. Like, she gives a shit about that at a certain point, you know? Yeah. Whereas McNulty just says, fuck it, I want to work on my case and fuck everything else and blah, blah, blah.
For real.
But you had said on our last commentary about the fact that McNulty fudges the one detail about whether or not Sidner saw somebody on the roof and, you know, whether he should have broken that rule. Well, Kima, you know, I think an episode or two from now, when she's on a hospital bed, Bunk goes up to her and he points at the picture and he says, if you can identify this guy, we can go after him. Be real easy if you could do that. And her response is, yeah, well, sometimes things just got to be hard.
Oh, I know. What a damn spoiler alert. But what a devastating piece of dialogue that is right there. As a viewer, I was like, no, because I wanted her to do it.
Of course. But I mean, that's a great moment for her character.
Yes, absolutely. And I totally agree with what you're saying as far as how those two are different, McNulty and her. But also, that's kind of one of the storylines in season three, when she kind of almost, you know, she's spending so much time with McNulty, going to the bars with McNulty, going home drunk like McNulty. It's almost like the writers were like, all right, Greg's is going to have a bit of a McNulty run here.
Right.
You know, and then she, like you said, she has the conscience to realize that that isn't, you know, how it should be. Whereas he is just so punch drunk on police work, it's all that matters. Like, police work is like basically his heroin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just his face appears. I just have to laugh.
Dude, I just can't not see a fucking Muppet every time I look at his face.
Yeah, oh my god.
Like, Does look at Muppet the cops really there. Tell him, hey, this is a great style, you know, go with this? Like, who told him to do that?
Oh, poor bastard. A Hawaiian shirt. Who's he talking to? Obviously one of the Barksdale guys. Cameras all over this house.
Fucking A.
Stash house.
Sidner's still too clean shaven to be a fucking dope fiend.
Yeah. His teeth are not yellow enough.
Absolutely not.
Like, they throw candy at him, like.
They do that to all of them.
I know, it seems almost ignorant, though.
Ugh, dude, they're dealing with children, though. It's fucked. It's so fucked. The kid in season four, the fucking fat kid in season four, he's sitting in the interrogation room with, like, ring dings, a fucking orange soda, a bunch of shit. Oh, thought it was interesting on this rewatch. So they talk about this situation going down at the, you know, at the Greek's place, but they never connect it to the Greeks in season two. But I wonder if it was just like, oh, yeah, something will go down in a fucking pizza parlor or, you know, arcade over here, whatever. Maybe there's a criminal element to explore after the fact, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I found it interesting. They could have been anywhere, and, you know, they call out the fact that they were in a Greek place. It's just, I don't know.
Hey, give me a quick time check. I hit pause on accident.
Oh, it's like 23 minutes and 10 seconds. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Good, thank you.
Dealing with fucking Fisher Stevens here. She's got her clothes on this time, though, so that's nice.
Yes. I don't care for her.
Yeah, I don't like her acting.
It's just, yeah, exactly.
She's a little too smarmy for my taste, you know?
It's that's a good word.
Yeah. It's like, we got it. You've been around the block. We fucking got it, all right?
Oh, Lanceman.
Lanceman. So, little piece of trivia. The real Jay Lanceman is Bunny Colvin's second in command in season 3, who ends up taking over the Western. The guy with the Philly accent, glasses, mustache.
Yes. He's the real Jay Lanceman?
Yes.
Meaning, what do you mean the real? Like in real life?
Yeah, so there's a real Jay Lanceman that David Simon took the name from.
Gotcha.
And that's him, and that's the guy that he's modeled a lot of his work after. So the Homicide book, when they're talking about Jay Lanceman, that's the Jay Lanceman they're talking about. And then, actually, okay, so you're in season 4, right? I'll give you a little more. Season 4, one of the enforcers that Prop Joe gives to Omar, the one with the bandana in prison, that is the real Omar.
Oh, no shit.
Yep.
I don't think I've gotten that far. That's all right. That cop, the real Lanceman. He's kind of a
jovial fellow.
Stick in the mud, maybe. Cornball. I don't know. He's annoying with Bunny. He doesn't. Him and Bunny scenes. I don't think he helps Bunny out.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Could have been. You know, there could have been more interaction. This judge is like, can we get this out of here, please?
Dude, I gotta tell you, just on a personal level, being a child of divorce and also, you know, being the fiance of someone who was also a child of divorce, yes. I told Meg right away, yeah, this isn't happening. This ends with one of us dead, and you can timestamp me on that. So, this isn't happening. I'm not doing this shit.
No. You know, happily waited till 40 or late 30s to get married. I don't think my heart could physically handle shit like this at this point anyway.
No.
My wife has nothing to worry about.
This is so fucking petty and terrible. Oh, God. Ah, this is bringing back memories. Whew. All right, let's get past this scene.
All right, let's. We'll jump 15 seconds. Oh, look, here's another asshole attorney.
This fucking cocksmoker.
This guy. Orlando.
This is as dirty as it gets, man. I mean, Orlando fucked up. I'm not defending Orlando, but like, this is it, man.
Yeah.
You fucked up. That's it. It's over. And you're not, I'm not your lawyer first. I'm someone else's lawyer first.
Maybe if I make it to Lollapalooza, I'll dress as Omar. I mean, as Orlando. I'll come to the live show as Orlando. And we'll see how many people actually listen to this.
Dude, if you do that.
All I need is a Hawaiian shirt and a killer wig.
Yeah, but you also have to speak in the accent. I mean, come on. Well, if you're going to perform, perform.
Don't worry about that. I mean, that's the easy part.
Oh, man. I'll owe you a couple shots of Jameson for that one.
Oh, yeah. Malort. Give me some Lort. Oof. Boy, oh boy.
Oh, brutal.
Buckman. It's like Buckner.
Yeah.
Lumberg. Buckner.
I
know we established this early on, but she is from Rescue Me, right? She's the wife?
Yeah, I think you said that. I never watched it, but...
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. Missed that one.
I tell you, that's, if you like Dennis Leary at all, I would absolutely watch that show.
Yeah, I don't know if I do, unfortunately, but I've heard it's a very good show, though.
I didn't like him going in,
yeah,
but I liked him coming out. What?
Oh, boy. That's a drop.
Please don't pass them along to my sportscast co-host, please.
All right, interpersonal drama. We got it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this scenario, these scenes obviously always want, you know, just leave me wanting to get back to, you know, like, let's just get back to the case or get back to Barksdale and stuff. But especially with this episode, I mean, all good things come to those who wait.
Yep, I mean, this stuff's important, you know. You gotta flesh out McNulty. You gotta understand where he's coming from and all that stuff. And, you know, they don't want anybody to be absolute on one side or the other here, so you gotta show that he's not a great father and all that. Possibly morally compromised in some respects. It's, you know, it's all important.
There is Mr. Clay Davis.
That's right. All right, so I hear this conversation quite a bit. Are you a Twizzlers guy or a Red Vines guy?
Well, shit. I mean, I love Twizzlers. Yeah. Red Vine. I'm not... I guess I'm a Twizzlers person because I got to look up Red Vine. Oh, yeah, definitely Twizzlers.
Gotcha.
I think Nibs beats them all, though.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't fucks with licorice at all. So,
okay, I've never been asked that. Actually, that is the first time.
Oh, really?
It's the first time I've ever heard of Red Vines. Yeah, for real.
Huh.
I just had a beer. It's flavored with sour Skittles. It's called Taste the Rain, Bro, and it's like REIGNBRO, and it's like a sour.
Yep.
Delicious. I don't know if I could sit there and drink the 4-pack, but just a nice ice cold one of those, it kind of opened my eyes to, you know, what different beers are really out there, because I don't go too creative. Speaking of cocksuckers, this is great right here.
I'm finding more and more I'm a sour beer guy, big time.
Oh. Please try. Oh, you got to try this beer then.
All right, we'll do. I had a Dogfish Sea Quench last night. A few of those. That was great.
Okay. I'll try anything once. Beers.
Another drop. Slinging them tonight.
God damn it. Half a beer. Just deposit fucking drops left and right. Never do, String. You never do.
Oh, man. Dude, arguably the two best actors on the show right here.
Yes.
I mean, what is this? One of maybe three scenes they get together?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Idris Elba needs a great film. I don't think that he's been in a great film. Been recognized in a great film yet.
Well, there's always the rumors he was going to get Bond, right? Never happened.
Yeah.
Are you a Luther fan?
I have not watched Luther yet. I've heard great things.
I'm not going to push to sell you on it. I'd actually have to watch that again because I was watching it pretty much in syndication. I'd have to, not syndication, I was watching it while it was live aired. I'd have to see that again. But I remember enjoying it. BBC, though.
Yeah. He's actually got a part in a couple of the MCU movies. He was in Infinity War, but small part. Omar's just so fucking smooth, man. This is such an interesting thing because I can relate to this. We have noise machines at home in the bedroom. Like we have a rushing water sound machine and a humidifier that even if it's not full, like we run the fan all night just so that we have some noise going while we're sleeping.
Yes.
Got to do it to drown everything else out. I cannot. Like I'm sure anybody else who does this feels the same way, but like silence is deafening. It just like occupies your mind. It's so fucking weird.
I put a single AirPod in an ear.
And, really?
I put like very low volume podcast or sports radio or something just to for the same reason you're saying. I mean, I can't. I've always been a guy that falls asleep with the TV on. My wife doesn't like that. So this kind of, even when I was a kid, I would fall asleep to sports radio. So it's just something that kind of helps me zone out. God bless sleep timers because they didn't exist back in the day. But yeah.
Couple, trying to think here. Couple apartments ago, we made the decision to not have a TV in the bedroom anymore so that we would just, you know, sleep, like not keep it on all night, every night and all that shit. I think it's had a positive effect. I mean, it's been a couple of years now, but.
Well, definitely that was the opinion of the wife and I brought the TV in eventually, but we rarely use it. It is a positive effect. It'll keep you up. I mean, if you're trying to watch a movie or episodes, you force yourself to stay awake till it ends. Then you just pay for it the next day. She's drinking Foster's. All right, real quick. So Idris Elba filmography.
Yeah.
He's in the Thors.
Yep.
Star Trek. Yeah, it's interesting. Nothing really...
And I like him.
Your statement. No, me too. But your statement is extremely accurate. He needs a big film.
He needs to be great in some. You know what? That's unfair.
He needs to be nominated.
I actually really like him in the Thor movies and in Infinity War. Like I think his character's cool. I really like him. He's a side character. He's not the focus. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know exactly what it would be, but he's dying for a role like that.
This American Gangster.
American Gangster. Dude, I saw that once and did not like it, and I don't remember it at all, so that might be due for a movie homework.
Yeah, Prometheus, Pacific Rim, Thor's, Avengers, Beasts of No Nation. That's like his first listed film.
I forgot about that. He is great in that. But that didn't get seen by anybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't even, never heard of it.
That was the big, that was the first Netflix crossover into theaters. That movie was fucking brutal, but he was great in it.
He does a ton of, you know, voice acting for cartoons, and then you have, excuse me, animation. Mm. And then Luther... Season 5 came out this year.
Yep.
Unaware. Is it out already?
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
It dropped, like, it was real weird when it dropped. It was a couple months ago. They were just like, yep, we filmed some episodes.
Interesting. And then Turn Up Charlie, which was recently mentioned on The Big Show, which I did add to the docket.
Turn Up Charlie. Suicide Squad.
Turn Up Charlie TV series. Let's see. Charlie, a struggling DJ and eternal bachelor, is given a final chance at success when he reluctantly becomes a nanny to his famous best friend's problem child daughter. And Idris Elba is the DJ turned nanny. Yeah. So, I mean,
I'll probably never watch that.
Yeah, now that I read that, I might be out. I think I just tapped it. Live tap.
Yeah, out. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
There you go. Tap out, buddies.
Tandem tap out, yo.
Can't explain how happy I am that we're completely talking over this scene, because talk about probably my least favorite scene of the entire series.
So here's something that we haven't really discussed much. So this show, when it aired, was in standard letterbox format. It wasn't until a couple years ago when they went back and remastered everything and formatted it for widescreen. Now, there have been cases where this was really fucked up in the past. Probably the biggest example of this was when they first released the Stanley Kubrick movies on DVD. Kubrick had shot a lot of TV shows, and at the time he had formatted his films for the letterbox format, not the widescreen format. And there was this horrible transfer that was done on the first round of those DVDs, and it was so bad that they actually got in contact with the Kubrick estate. And this actually ties into a movie I watched a little while back, Film Worker, the documentary about the guy who worked with Kubrick. He was in charge of helping dictate how the remasters were done to properly master everything in widescreen the way it was supposed to be. I never once saw a shot during this whole run of The Wire that seemed like it was mastered, like, awkwardly. It seems like they did it pretty well. I didn't know if you noticed any difference from the last time you had seen this, or even knew that this was a thing this time around.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Now I'll be looking for it.
Yeah.
Here we go, more chewing. Mugsy.
Chewing gum, chomping on gum. That is, like, just a stereotypical fucking cliched acting choice right there, man.
100%, absolutely.
You want to telegraph how carefree you are and how in control of your position as a police officer or whatever it is, you just chomp that gum because you don't give a fuck about manners or what anybody else thinks about you, because you got this.
I'm police. I chew what I want.
You know. Wendell, oh. It'll be Wendell Orlando, yeah. You on it?
Orlando. Oh, shit. This is like a first date. Grandma. I gotta live off drinks and tips. Oh, he is smitten.
Oh, smooth, dude. Just don't wear those button down shirts, you'd be good. Yeah, this is the shit that, too, that remains interesting to me about this series. It's that, like, you know, when they talk about police procedurals, everybody assumes, like, Law and Order, or, you know, NYPD, life on the streets and all that shit. This is the first show I can think of that really made you think about the procedure behind all of this stuff. Mm. You know, it wasn't about, like, catching the fucking third suspect that you find because that's always the killer and we can wrap it up within an hour.
Right.
It's like, here's what the charge is. Here's what we can realistically charge them with. Here's what we have a shot at getting. Here's how we should go about it. All that stuff. Oh, man. Cinematography here, man. Bubs is sitting on that bench. See the guy behind him dealing? Wearing black? Devil on his shoulder, man.
Not long enough for these sores to heal. Sorry to direct your attention back to them.
God.
You would think he wouldn't hang in the park where they're dealing. But where the hell else is he going to go?
Yeah.
You're sell them white tees, Bubs.
White to sale. 1 for $3, 2 for $5.
Ugh.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Tainted.
You're going to be around a child? Oh, my God. Don't they tell pregnant women not to be near cat litter for the poison in it or something? Same deal, dude. She needs to get away from her wife.
What am I going to do with a sober informant? Ah, oh, there he is. Dope on the table.
That's how we run these rips. Clean, Daniels.
He gives him the line here. There you go. I think you're wrong, Burrell.
But, you know, later seasons, they give you the insight, and it's like, well, Burrell doesn't give a fuck about clearing the actual problem. That's not what gets his bottom line raised. He's got to show the stats. Got to juke those stats, son.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's basically a politician.
Absolutely.
That's it. Just trying to hold a higher office every, you know, all the way up the ladder. It's a smart by Omar to get the hell out of here because they were gonna, they were, you know, they were not giving him that money.
No fucking way.
No. So I wonder here if, you know, that was maybe the last time we were going to see him and they could have maybe brought him back or...
Well, I had heard that they were going, like, it was like an Aaron Paul thing. I thought they were actually going to kill him. But I, you know, now that I think about it, I can't think of where I heard that from. That may have just been something that I kind of assumed. Now, I'm trying to think of logistics here because, again, it's been a month and a half, 2 months since I saw this. So they changed the street signs.
Yes. So, Orlando tells her that.
Right.
Which is, that's why she can't give them an accurate location.
But I'm trying to think here, do they do that because they know that she's undercover? I don't think so, right? Because they all react like they fucked up that they shot a cop and they know the heat's coming down now. So why were they changing the street signs?
No, I think, well, I mean...
Hey!
My take is it's just something they do normally, yeah, just to deter, you know, law enforcement.
Hey! Could be. I think Julie's trying to give me an answer, and you're squashing her opinion. I don't think she appreciates it.
No, I actually think she's given the business to a dog three flights down outside the window.
Oh, damn right, dude.
Bubsy.
Ah, brutal, dude. Brutal. Bubs just gets fucked by the system so many times. Oh, terrible. Terrible. Orlando's stupid fucking car.
Yeah, now, as soon as this dude jacks up the music, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he knows because he sees her. Oh, that's your girl? She's definitely wearing a wire. Jack this up.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, terrible.
And she said in the, you know, like the pre-meeting, she said he might pat me down, so I'm going to have to hide the gun.
Yeah.
But there was no opportunity to pat her down there.
Yeah, well,
he just jumped right in the back seat.
I feel like she was correct in doing that, though. Like, you don't know what you're walking into.
Yeah.
I mean, if this guy wasn't, if he was suspicious in a different way, he could have easily said, get out of the car, I gotta pat you down first, you know? Yeah. I mean, I get that.
Why not take the money?
Good question. Oh, because the traceable bills.
Yeah,
the
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not a guarantee that he knew she was a cop either. He knows he's getting out because he's setting Orlando up. She's just a bystander here. Right.
God, I cannot imagine the stress of a situation like this.
I know. For real. You better not be long. See, I don't know where the stash is. If they're dragging us all over this part of town, you know. What's that?
Oh, it's fucked. We're gonna be quiet, but this shit's compelling, dude. Sorry.
No, this is an excellent scene.
Oh. The guy with the finger whack.
Yeah. What the fucking Mutombo.
No.
It's the copter, right? The helicopter finds her?
I think so, yeah, overhead.
Oh,
Oh my god, so much time passing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is painful.
Even in real time, it's so long. Look at my brain. Snitching, motherfucker. And so we lose one of our favorite characters.
Gone but not forgotten.
Oh. That's right. Especially when I dress up like I'm in Chicago. This is awesome here. The audio with the loud helicopter overhead. And it just goes longer than you even expect it to.
The only thing that throws me is that where the car is now does not seem like where they stopped it in the previous scene.
I think you're right.
Like, at all.
No, I think you're right. It's too out in the open. Maybe they probably just needed it to be. But you're right. It was more almost in like a driveway behind one of the houses. And they grab the money.
Oh, yeah.
So that FBI dude screwed, CIA or whoever. Screwed.
Oh, it's brutal. That's a great episode. God damn it.
killer ending right there. Now, that, I mean, couple scenes we could throw out in the middle, but it all sets you up for that, and it's just man. Such a great ending.
I fucking love this show, dude.
You're just gonna keep going from here, straight through season 5 again.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, we ain't stopping. I'm not fucking leaving. You know that shit. All right, season 10's in the books. We've got a couple more to go, people. We're almost at the end of the road here. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this. I would love to hear a little bit of feedback. I haven't heard much in a few weeks now. So please drop us a voicemail. 708-406-9546. Let us know what you like, how we're doing. Little feedback. Maybe drop a hint in the Facebook group, you know. It's always good to hear. Little encouragement never fucking killed anybody, you know what I'm saying? In any case.
Come on, people. Come on.
Come on now. We're trying here, you know?
Oh, we're having a good time.
Oh, shit. All right, all the usual stuff. Subscribe on Patreon, iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes as well. That helps quite a bit. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe in all those places. Follow us. Reach out. Send an email. Check out the website. Get ready for the BYNG Fest this year. August. I don't know. That's all I got. Got a bunch of shows on the network. Go listen to them.
Check them out.
Check them out. Make sure you check them out. All right?
Check them out. Check them out.
The fuck, bro? That's it. That's all I got. TM, you got anything else?
R.I.P. Orlando.
he gonna do a casket, you know. All right. All right. That's it. I say peace.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at Patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving hand jobs because I was good at it. I stopped giving hand jobs because I was the best at it.